I invite you to take your Bible, your smartphone, or your iPad there and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Message entitled, Arriving at Commitment. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Back in 2003, headline news, newspapers, television, computers, saw the case that involved the chief executive officer and the chief financial officer of the Tyco Corporation. Jurors were looking at a 15-minute video that had been taped by a housekeeper for that company's New York apartment. As the housekeeper went through to show the jurors what was there, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who like the interior decorate, there were at least a dozen expensive paintings, and there was a $2,200 wastebasket in the bathroom. There was a statue there, a little brass statue of a terrier holding a ring right there in his paws. Not only could you place trash in there, but you could also put your umbrella in that stand. Ladies, I want you to know that the shower curtain there was $6,000. It had a gold and burgundy floral pattern. Throughout this Fifth Avenue apartment, there were birds that were painted that were worth $500,000. The name associated with this was Dennis Kozlowski. He was the CEO of the Tyco Corporation. He used that apartment occasionally when he'd be in town for business. Sometimes he just went to that apartment to change clothes. Here was the problem. He and the chief financial officer embezzled $600 million from the Tyco Corporation. As I was reading the story, $170 million of that was listed as salary and also loans that he and the CFO took from the company. And later they forgave themselves of taking this money on the corporate books. That sounds real nice, doesn't it? Also, they were accused of selling 430 million shares of the Tyco Corporation personally, and they sold that stock to customers, showing them inflated books with the corporation. After the pricey shower curtain and umbrella stand made the news in the fall of 2001, these two men became symbols of executive greed. No matter how much we have, sometimes we have learned not to be content. If we sat down today and wrote a list of many things for which we're grateful, here's what we would have. You may be thankful for your wife or your husband. You may be thankful for your children. Children may be thankful for their parents. You might be thankful for your home, for your cars, for your clothes, for your cash, for your investments. But let me share something with you. That's as far as you can take it. You might want to throw in your health. Don't have your health, don't have anything. But that list I just gave you could be given to you by any pagan in the country. As a Christian, what are you thankful for in your life? Certain we'd include all that which I just mentioned. But I want you to know spiritually we ought to be thankful for a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that once we're saved, we're always saved. We ought also be thankful that the Holy Spirit dwells within us to empower us to live for Christ. We ought to be thankful for the Word of God to give us instruction on how to live and make decisions every day of our life. We ought to be thankful that God has taken the guilt and the burden of sin off of our shoulders because of the blood shed on the cross. And let me tell you something. When you face a crisis, You better be a person that has contentment in the Lord. Last week, Delaney and I had a friend who went home to be with the Lord. I met Vicky in the 10th grade. She was homecoming queen, Miss Augusta. She worked at University Hospital in Augusta for 42 years. Last Friday was supposed to be her first official day of retirement. This girl was a practicing Christian. She was the number one soprano in her choir at Abilene Baptist Church in Augusta for 30 years. I'll never forget, every time we go in the hospital, we love to see Vicky. One time she was a patient representative. They were a liaison between the doctors, the nurses, and social services. Then later she was the manager of the gift shop. But I can remember going by there when my parents were sick. She'd always stop me, want to know how they were doing. I knew her dad way back in the grocery store days. He was our national cash register salesman and repairman for our cash registers. One of the finest Christian families we have ever known. But let me tell you what happened. Two Thursdays ago, she got bronchitis. Now keep in mind, for the last 15 years, she's been working full-time and living with her parents who are becoming invalids. For 15 years, she's been taking care of her parents as well. Well, she went to the doctor Thursday, almost 2 weeks ago, and the doctor said, "You have bronchitis. You've waited so long to come, you developed another infection as well, a secondary infection." Doctor gave her an antibiotic, sent her home. Last Sunday night, she got up in the middle of the night and she walked in her parents' bedroom and she said, "Mom, I don't feel too good. Would you come in the living room? I'm going to have to sit up for a little while." They both went to the living room. Vicky sat down next to her mom and laid her head down in her mom's lap. In about 15 minutes, she quit breathing and died in her mother's lap. Friday, University Hospital was supposed to have a reception celebrating her retirement. Instead, there was a memorial service celebrating Vicky going home to be with the Lord. How will the parents cope? I can't even imagine what it'd be like to have one of your children precede you in death as a parent, much less die with their head in your lap. The only way they'll make it is through one of the things they give thanks for, is eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. "I have learned the secret of being filled and to go hungry." Paul had learned a very valuable secret. He'd learned to be content and satisfied. And you want to write this down very carefully. Contentment, it's very simple. Contentment is being satisfied with God and God alone. Contentment is to be satisfied with God and God alone. First of all, we ought to be content with God's presence in our lives. You ever thought about that? Once we get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up His dwelling in us, and there's nowhere we do go, there's nothing that we do that God is not with us. During the Masters golf tournament, I stayed with my sister. She only lives about 4 miles from the front gate. She's kind enough to let me use her dog's bedroom. And I give her Masters tickets and take her to the Masters with me. But she and her husband have a new dog named Linus. Gerald and Charlie Brown are both in cremation urns on her desk. Now, Linus is a golden retriever, and he weighs 95 pounds. She said, "You're going to notice this time when you're here, he's a lot more calm than he used to be." She said, "Only a year and a half." Well, Delaney and I were over there about a year ago, and he nearly tore the whole house down, and they thought it was funny. I'm not accustomed to that. Well, I noticed the dog was really calm. Well, I noticed also they give this dog peanut butter for a snack. They'll put it in a rubber ball. Have y'all seen that? And then they throw it out, and the dog licks it out. Well, she said, "Well, he's a little calmer this year." She said, "And he's got some allergies. Said we've been giving him Benadryl. That's what's calming him down. The dog's on Benadryl." I wish I'd thought of that a year ago. But anyway, on Wednesday, she had tickets to go to the Masters with her husband. I had a business appointment over there and some other things I had to do. She said, "So when you're home today, you and Linus are going to be together." Boy, I just got a warm, fuzzy, hairy feeling all over. And my sister locks her freezer in the garage, but she does not lock her house so the dog can go in and out. I don't understand that. But anyway, I want you to know they went off to the Masters on Wednesday, and I was getting ready to go for an appointment. And when I went to the table, the dog sat right under the table looking up at me while I ate. When I went to take a shower, when I walked out of the shower, he was lying across the doorway. When I went in the bedroom to put on my clothes and I came out, Linus is right there. When I went downstairs to go out to my truck, Linus is right there. When I got back home that afternoon, I had to go in through the back gate. Linus was there, and he escaped. I haven't shouted commands like that to dogs in a long time or anybody else, but I want you to know he obeyed. When my sister got home, I said, "You shouldn't have named this dog Linus. You should have named him Shadow. Because wherever you go, he's there." Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you go, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're doing, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. We need to be content in His presence. Notice Paul was in the middle of some very difficult circumstances. He was someone, he said, "I learned to live over my circumstances." He says, "I'm not a victim, I'm a victor." He made up his mind to be satisfied with who he was, where he was, and what he had. Look at verse 10. He says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord." I want you to notice that his joy was not based on how much he had. It wasn't tied to the economy, the Dow Jones Industrial, the NASDAQ, interest rates, or the state of the economy. Paul had learned that those things don't satisfy. I read somewhere where contentment will make a rich man poor and a poor man rich. And one of the things I think all of us learn sooner or later is not what you have that will bring satisfaction. What will bring satisfaction is knowing who you have. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, 'I will never fail you. I will never abandon you.'" Back in 1900, there was a survey completed among American people. And people said this in the survey: the average person wanted 500 material things, but they considered only 15 things a necessity. We move on to the 21st century, and we say that the amount of things that we desire has grown exponentially, but then the average person said, "There's only really one thing that's essential for me to be content." One of the secrets to satisfaction is not having a lot of things, but in believing what you have is enough. If you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, His presence is enough. Look at the next thing. Concentrated on God's power. Verse 13, "I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." And let me clarify this. This does not say I can do all things that I want to do. What he was saying, I ought to be satisfied with who I am because I can do things I ought to do. You can do anything God calls you to do and that Christ wants to do through you. I'm not one of those people who hold this blind kind of positive thinking that says if you can believe it, you can achieve it. That's not necessarily true. I heard about two drunks one time that were partying in a big city. They had reservations on one of the upper floors of a hotel. They went to the hotel, and these two guys drank some more and drank some more, and finally one of them jumped out the window to his death. Police came. Emergency workers recovered the body on the street. Police went up to the room and went in to see the other drunk and said, "Man, what in the world happened here?" He said, "Well, my friend was drunk and jumped out the window." They said, "Well, why did he do that?" He said, "Well, he thought he could fly around the building. Police said, well, why didn't you stop him? He said, well, I thought he could do it too. You can't do anything you think you can or believe you can, but you can do that which God calls you to do. I want you to remember this principle. Anything God calls you to do or commands you to do, He'll give you the power and the ability to do it. Be content in the power of God. And notice, be content with provisions. Look at verse 19. And my God, and just underscore this word, will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. There's some great promises in the Bible. But I don't honestly know of a greater promise in all the Bible than this one. He says, if you're right with God and if you give into God what God has commanded you to give, and there's nothing in your life that be an obstacle to God's pipeline of blessings, then He says any real need you have is going to be met personally by God. A lot of people don't understand that promise. God's promised to supply your need. Notice He has not promised to supply your greed. He's not promised to supply those things that you desire out of a lustful heart. He says, I'll provide, I'll supply you the things that you need. Here's what contentment is. Now think about this. Contentment is being just as happy driving a Mercedes as it is a 1992 Oldsmobile 88 that runs. Now, some of the kids are saying, what is an Oldsmobile? They're third cousins to a dinosaur. They look similar to a ship on four Goodyear tires. That's all I can tell you. And the reason why you ought to be content in one as well as the other is because you're riding. You're actually getting to ride somewhere rather than walk. Think about this. We ought to be just as content in a $300,000 house as we are with a two-bedroom apartment. Delaney and I started out in a one-bedroom apartment, 75 yards from a railroad crossing. Amtrak, Santa Fe, all the big trains came through. And not only that, we were right there at a street where the gates came down and ding, 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 honk, honk, right in the middle of the night. And Delaney would wake me up in the middle of the night and said, Phil, I'm afraid hobos are going to get off the train and break in the apartment. Listen, we were too poor for the hobos to break in and steal anything. There was no problem there whatsoever. Be as content with a what? $300,000 house as you are with a two-room or a two-bedroom apartment because you have a roof over your head. Several years ago, I was in Sally, South Carolina, and I went down to the local grocery store. It was the only grocery store, population 600. It was late on Saturday afternoon. This is back when I was wearing canary yellow suits and madras ties and white shoes. I thought if you had bright clothes, you'd make you preach better. And nothing's helped so far. And so I went down to see Jack. And I walked into Jack's store. And I said, Jack, I want to grill my wife a steak tonight. He said, preacher, I sure am sorry. He said, I'm out of steaks. The meat truck won't run till next Tuesday. Now, get the picture here. This is cottonseed oil floors. You know, he's probably got some horse feed back there and also has groceries. He took me back into one of those old-fashioned wood door meat coolers. He said, I want to show you something. He said, I got something back here I have to throw out every Tuesday. Nobody will buy it. He opened the door of that cooler and went back there. And, you know, the old meat wrapping paper, he unwrapped a slab of meat that long and that big around. And being from the city, I kind of recognized that. He said, nobody ever buys that. That's filet mignon. I said, I beg your pardon, Jack. And he said, that's filet mignon. He said, nobody eats that here in Sally. He said, would you give me $5 for that? I said, yes, sir, I sure will. I was getting the money out in the meat cooler. I don't know about you, but I like filet mignon, don't you? That's one of my favorite cuts of beef. I can't make that up, folks. That's a true story. We ought to be as excited about eating filet mignon as a hot dog with nothing but red fillers in it. You know why? Because our hunger is quenched. We ought to be as excited about a designer outfit as we are about clothes from the thrift store. You know why? Because our body is clothes. And notice another reason why God doesn't always give us what we want is because often we want things that we don't need. I read the story recently about a young pastor who was not content in his church at all. In fact, he probably pastored what we would refer to in this profession as preacher killers. He called an old pastor mentor, an older gentleman, and he said, listen, I need you to recommend me somewhere else. I got to get out of this church. I can't stand it. I hate every day. And here's what the older pastor told the younger pastor. He said, young man, God will never make you happy somewhere until you get happy right where you are. Listen carefully. Just to show you how we can always be satisfied and content with what we have and what we know God will give us, he goes on to say, he will meet our needs according to his glorious riches. You know, there's a great difference between meeting someone's needs out of your riches than it is according to your riches. There's a wealthy man walking down the street one day. I don't know why he did this, but he had $1 million in his pockets. A beggar came up to him and said, could you help me? I'm hungry. I've got some needs. And the millionaire reached in his pocket and gave him $1. I want you to know that's meeting needs out of that pocket. But suppose that millionaire had been made the same request made by the needy man. The millionaire reached in his pocket, said, I want to come alongside you. I want to change your family history. And he reached in his pocket and gave him $100,000. Now he's giving according to the riches in his pocket. And notice that little word will. The writer didn't say God might supply all your needs, or God can supply all your needs, or should supply all your needs. He says, I will supply your needs according to God's riches in glory. Listen, if there's a real need in your life, God's going to meet it. That might not be your way. It might not be my way. But in his own way, he's going to meet your needs. There's an old story about a lady who lived in a very small apartment, and she just lived on her little pension check. She made it to the third week in the month. At the end of the third week, she was out of food and out of money. She was a fine Christian lady, and she was a lady that believed in the power of prayer. She began to pray, Dear Lord, as you know, my pension check has run out, and I'm totally out of food. I don't know how you're going to provide it for me. But she said, I don't get paid for another week. I want you to know that her landlord was an atheist, and he always ridiculed her about being a lady of faith and a lady who believed in the power of prayer. Well, that day when she finished praying, she had to run an errand. Now, here's what I want you to know. The landlord had been outside her door, and her door was cracked open a little bit, and he had heard her when she was praying. So he went down to the local grocery store, and he bought three. Now, folks, I'm not talking about these little cheap plastic bags that we call grocery bags now. I'm talking about when a grocery bag was a real bag made out of a tree. Paper bags, that's a real grocery bag. So he went to the store. He bought meat, chicken, fish, vegetables, breads. He bought three big bags of groceries that just were stuffed to capacity. While this lady was running her errand, He had a pass key, and he opened her apartment and put the 3 bags of groceries on her table. She came home, she unlocked her apartment, she walked in, she was in shock. And she just began thanking God for sending those 3 bags of groceries. And listen carefully. That man stepped out from behind the door, the landlord, and said, "You foolish old lady." Said, "You still been believing that God stuff?" He said, "I overheard your prayer, and I'm the one that brought the groceries. Prayer doesn't do you any good." You know what she said to him? She said, "I'm so thankful to God for providing these groceries, even though he let the devil deliver them." Don't you love that? Why was this lady content? She was content because of the presence, because of the provisions, because of the promises of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I'm talking to you about being content, I'm not talking about being complacent. I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm not talking about not having goals. I'm not talking about somebody just sort of idling through life. I'm just telling you that if you have a personal daily walk with your King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you don't care what people think about you. You don't care about what people think about what you have and what you don't have, because our contentment is in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.